Yes, please rise for the reading of the gospel. This is the third parable that Jesus tells in Luke 15. Then Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me.' And so the father divided his property between them. A few days later, the young son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. And when he spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. And so he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' And so he sent off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. And he ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to the slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. And put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate." Now his elder son was in the field. And when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. The slave replied, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound." But the older brother became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, "Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, and you killed the fat calf for him?" Then the father said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found." This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. So, I kind of gave you a little bit of the context, because I think the context is important here. This parable of the prodigal son, as we're used to calling it, is found in the 15th chapter of Luke's gospel. But it starts at the 11th chapter. And so, the chapter actually begins with just this quick sentence. "Now, all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus." The outcasts, the people that everyone looked askance at, you know, those people were interested in what Jesus had to say, and they were gathering around him. But the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." Now, this is probably mostly pastors' faults. Pharisees and scribes are not bad people. In fact, they're probably a lot like us. They're good church people. In fact, the Pharisees are a reform movement. In fact, Jesus kind of identifies, and Paul identifies with the Pharisees. But they're concerned that Jesus is doing something that he shouldn't do. You know, you got to be careful. You hang around with those people, and other people, you know, might get the wrong idea. But Jesus' response, you know, Jesus doesn't care about that. And in his response to them being concerned about him is he tells three parables. And they're all about something getting lost and found. And so the first one is that parable of the lost sheep. Remember, the shepherd has 100 sheep and one gets lost. And the shepherd leaves the 99 and goes, searches out that one. And when he finds it, he puts it on his shoulders and brings it back. And when he gets back, he calls everyone together and they have a big celebration because he found this silly lost sheep. And the second one is a parable of a woman who has 10 silver coins, and somehow she loses one. And so she, you know, lights a lamp and sweeps the entire house and searches everywhere until she finds it. And again, when she finds it, she calls her neighbors together and they have a celebration. I always wondered if they spent the money from that coin on the celebration, which kind of undoes all the searching, but that's neither here nor there. The point is, she finds it and there's a celebration. And so these two first parables that Jesus tells in chapter 15 have this kind of four-part pattern. Something gets lost, it's searched for, it's found, and there's a celebration. I think that pattern is important. And then Jesus goes into the third parable, which is the one I just read, the parable again that we often refer to as the prodigal son, which is a weird title because prodigal is a word none of us ever use, and I would not know it if I had not looked it up. It means wasteful, the wasteful son. So a lot of people have different names for this parable. Some call it the parable, the gracious father, or some call it the parable of the prodigal father, a father who wastes his love and attention on this wayward son of his. But the people of the narrative lectionary did an interesting thing. They titled it today, The Lost Son, singular. And I find that really interesting. It's really very much a two-part parable. And the first part really can stand alone. It's the story of the wasteful son, the younger son who says, Dad, I want my share of the inheritance, and he takes it, and he goes and spends it on dissolute living, and then everything goes wrong. There's a famine, and no one will help him, and he's starving, and this nice Jewish kid is working in a pig farm, and he's so hungry that the slop that the pigs eat look good. And so he kind of comes to his senses and says, I'm going to go home. Because even though I've frittered away my right to sonship, my dad, I bet, will hire me as a servant. And I will do better as a servant under my dad than I will in this horrible pig farm. And so he goes home, and dad sees him from far off, runs to him, and the kid starts his little speech, but before he can finish it, dad has told the servants to, what is it, the ring, so the family signet ring, get the best robe, which is dad's, and put sandals on his feet, which is a sign that he is not a servant, and he throws a huge party. The parable stands by itself, but it's when you add that second part in that the parable, I think, gets really fun and interesting. Because the older son, the kid who stayed home, the dutiful son, for some reason, no one sends out to get him to come to the party, but I think it's just because they know he's coming home soon. He comes home, he hears the party, calls a servant, what's going on here? Where are your bratty little brother came home and dad's throwing a party? Don Jewell, who was a professor at Luther, said, instead of he killed the fatted calf, he said, oh, and by the way, he killed that 4-H blue ribbon calf that you raised. and we're all having this huge party. And we know how the son responds, you know, what? You're throwing a party for my bratty little, well, no, not my bratty little brother, your rotten son, even though I've been here slaving away all this time, done everything you never asked, and you never even gave me a young goat. You know something's wrong when a kid is turning up his nose to prime rib inside and instead wishing he had a young goat. I've had young goat. It does not match up to the prime rib inside. And then it leaves with that wonderful question of is this kid going to go in? So the first question I have is, does this parable, does it match that four-part pattern in the first two parables? Again, the parables of something is lost, something is searched for, something is found, and then there's a celebration. And what I found interesting is neither one of these parts of this parable really hit that pattern. So the first half, the young brother story, I think you could argue that this kid is lost. But you know what's interesting is he's never searched for. Now it is, I think, interesting that dad is watching for him. But dad never goes looking for him. The kid comes back on his own. And then there's a celebration. So we have something lost, but we really don't have that searched for and found part in that first part of the parable. But what about the second part? So the first question is the older brother lost? And we'll come back to that. Is he searched for? And here the answer is yes. When the dad discovers that his older son is not in the party, he goes out looking for him. And he finds him. I don't know if he was actually found in the sense that, you know, something was restored. And then, as I mentioned, the parable leaves it hanging whether or not the older brother comes into the celebration. So this parable doesn't quite fit the pattern. But I want to go back and ask the question, is that older son lost? Before I ask you that, though, which I just did, what I meant to ask you before I asked you that, so forget that I asked you that yet, which of these two sons do you relate to more? The younger son who wants his inheritance and goes out and wants to have a lot of fun? Or are you more like the second son, the older son who is dutiful and stayed home? Can we do a little showing of hands? I have not had a chance to ask questions or seen hands for so long. Oh my gosh, I've been waiting for this. Give me your hand if you're the younger son type, if you're brave enough to. Okay, any older son types? Yeah, that was my guess. It's mostly older son types that are in nice Lutheran churches. Which then goes back to that question. Is the older son lost? And keep in mind that most of you just raised your hand and said that you're kind of like an older son. This has haunted me. I seriously mean that. I saw a Facebook post in a narrative lectionary Facebook group early on in the week, and the person kind of set this up like I'm talking about how we have all these lost things, and then asked the question, is that older son lost? And I have been wrestling with that this whole entire week. And where I've ended up is, yeah, speaking primarily for myself, but I think for most of you, I think us older child types are lost. I think especially maybe coming out of this pandemic, I think we've kind of lost, here's my problem though. This is what's kind of driven me crazy. I'm not sure how to describe how we're lost. And because of that, I cannot figure out how to get unlost. I just feel some sense of lostness. And I don't know how to define it or what to do about it. If you want to define lostness, especially in this parable, lostness is defined in relation to relationships. I mean, when you think of the dad, what the dad wants from his two lost kids is simply for them to be back in relationship. And so when he sees that wayward son coming home, he does everything he can. He gives him all the family status symbols and throws a party for him. He wants that son and everyone else to know this kid is back in the family. This relationship is healed. And when he goes out to meet the younger son, the older son, isn't that all he wants? Just come inside. Your brother who was lost, who was dead, has been found and he's alive. Come in and let's get this family back together. So in the parable, this being lost thing has to do with relationships. And again, I think part of what I'm feeling is just the fact that for the last year, it's been really hard to do relationships with people outside of our bubble. And after being in a bubble with people for the same year, it's a little hard to do relationship with them sometimes, right? So we got it coming at us from both ways. You know, I as I thought about this and wrestled with this, because I really, part of me thought I was going to stop right here, because I honestly just don't have much of an answer. But as I pushed through this, I wonder if the point of all of these parables, the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son or the lost sons or whatever you want to call it, is the point that which is lost cannot get itself unlost. When you're lost, when you're truly lost, you have to be found. Which I think first is an interesting commentary on the younger brothers, the younger children, the ones who put freedom and fun over relationship. They often come around like this kid did. They sense that lack of relationship, they often kind of find their way home. And that's what worried me as I read this parable. As older sibling types, and I'm the youngest, by the way, but you know what I mean. You know, we worry about those young ones. But, you know, the parable really, I think, focuses more on that older kid, that one like us, the one who separates themselves from relationships because of things like fairness and self-righteousness. That's where we get lost. You know, if you listen to the last Lent at Lunch thing, my friend Mike talked about how virtue and sin are the same thing on the different sides of the coin. The younger son's sin is fun and freedom, but the older son's sin is just as bad. It's self-righteousness. They've both, because it leads to the same thing. It leads to separation. It leads to the breaking of relationships. But again, the younger son, they realize it. But it's us older ones. It's us who have done the right thing. I think we're the ones that struggle so often to be found because we don't know we're lost, because we're so confident in our self-righteousness. And we're so sure that life has treated us unfair, and that we have earned, you know, all the good stuff, including God's favor. But I really think these parables are saying when we are lost like this, we can't find ourselves. But that's the good news in these parables. The good news in these parables are those things that are lost that cannot become unlost on their own are searched for. The shepherd goes in search of the sheep. The woman lights the lamp and sweeps the house. The father leaves the party to go search out that elder son who's lost in his righteousness. You know, Lent is a time of repentance. And again, repentance is not saying you're sorry. Repentance is turning and going in a new direction. But I think what these parables have been saying to me is we fool ourselves if we think we can kind of our own volition, you know, turn and go in the right direction. Because the point is, when you're lost, you don't know what direction to go in. And so I think maybe the good news for us older siblings, the responsible ones, the ones that are kind of like the scribes and the Pharisees, is that repentance doesn't start with us or depend on us. It's always God who acts first. It's God who searches for us. It's God who then finds us. And, you know, maybe this is where there's some participation on our part. When we get found, are we going to be able to acknowledge that we're lost? That we've put our sense of what we deserve and all that, are we going to put that before the celebration? Or are we going to be able to acknowledge, yeah, I am lost a lot of the time. I go off in my own directions. But now that God has come and found me again and headed me in the right direction, there's nothing more I want to do than go to that celebration. To get back in relationship with God, and not just with other older siblings and Pharisee types, but with, you know, those sinners and tax collectors. Everybody else at the party. God is searching for us. God will find us. God will get us to that celebration. Thanks be to God. Amen.